God, I can't imagine anything better than to experience your embrace and to rest in that place. We acknowledge you among us, Jesus. We believe you're active among us, and we ask that we'll be sensitive to your prompting, to your moving, to your healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine for a moment what it would be like to be kidnapped? You're targeted on a busy street and hustled into a car by people you have never seen. You hear threats if you don't cooperate. You're put in the trunk and the lid is shut. You're terrified and confused. The car drives off and you're left to wonder what is happening. Is this a nightmare that you're caught in? Is this just a horrible mistake? As minutes turn to hours, you realize that you're being held for ransom. The kidnappers are waiting to post the request for $1 million. You overhear them discussing the demands and the timeline. If they don't get what they're asking for, you'll be killed. You toggle in your mind between panic and shock. How could this be happening to me? Hours turn into days, and the request for ransom is posted. Nothing. You rerun what has happened. A review of your life has been playing on repeat ever since you were taken. You think of loved ones and the pang of separation. It cuts straight to the heart, straight through your heart. Your relationships with others, these are all that matters. Your prayer to God is unending, and you begin to pray. You begin to pray even for your captors. You pray that the ransom would be paid and that you can return home to those whom you love, to your sometimes boring routine even. All that you've taken for granted now seems like a far-off dream. You drift between outrage, sadness, and deep grief. You consider ways that you might escape. Days turn into weeks, and a daily routine develops that for you is both tragic and comforting. You learn that these people are from an organization that is up to no good and they are in desperate need of cash. You realize that they mean what they say, that your life will come to an abrupt end if they don't get the money. You become desperate for information and only catch snippets of it here and there. It's been 3 months and you have missed one of your children's birthdays. You're wondering if you'll ever be rescued. Your location has changed 3 times. You continue to wonder why they chose you. The longing to return to those whom you love becomes a burdensome ache. You think of the good times. You think of your spouse. You think of your children. You think of your sisters and brothers, your parents who are long dead. You think of them. You think you're growing up. You think of your church community. And you think about work. Those tasks that you're no longer able to do, who's doing them? Have you been replaced? You've not been able to fulfill your ministry commitments at church. You've been torn out of your own life. Just when you think that you'll never be rescued, or if you were, it would be with guns blazing and helicopters beating the air overhead, suddenly after eating a humdrum breakfast, you're placed in the back seat of a car, held down, driven through town, and then abruptly pushed out. You hit your shoulder and head on the ground. The car drives away. Could this be it? You struggle to free yourself. You hear a voice of a person approaching you, calling you, "Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm here to help." You're aware of a dog sniffing you. Finally, the covering comes off your head. You squint in the daylight. You're in a park you don't recognize, and a person walking their dog is trying to free your arms and your legs. It finally dawns on you. You're free. As police cars flood the area and you're assessed by first responders, you learn that the ransom was paid. Can you imagine for a moment what that realization would be like? What you'd be feeling? The ransom was paid, and you've been set free. In this situation, the captive is largely powerless over their captors. All they have in their possession is what they were wearing when they were abducted. And the shoulder bag they were carrying has not been seen. Stripped down to nothing, they're at the mercy of their abductors. And this is the thing that's enraging them. They were powerless. During Israel's captivity in Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah laments, "My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick." They were captive. We learn from Paul's letter to Timothy that the ransom has been paid to free us from our captors, the captors of sin and death. And the price of the ransom was the life of God's Son, Jesus Christ, himself human, Paul says in his letter to Timothy, paid just at the right time, that we have been set free into a new life called eternal life. It's a dimension of life that is new and expansive, transcends physical death. I wonder if in that exercise of imagining those who were able to enter in even a little bit, you perhaps considered what would be most important to you. What is most important to you? Who is most important to you? And the million things that did not matter. Can you imagine the minute you're freed and reunited with loved ones, your first question is, did you make the RRSP contribution before the deadline? Like, that'd be troubling, wouldn't it? What are the primary things? What are the primary people, the primary priorities? I wonder if any of us would want to return to that old life in captivity. Long for it. I doubt it. In Deuteronomy, we're told of who God is. See now, I myself am He, your deliverer. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver you out of my hand. To be possessed by God is a good thing, is a secure thing, is a life-giving thing. The psalmist says, He set my foot on a wide open plain. I run in the way of His commandments. It's this life of definition and yet freedom, of fulfillment, grace and peace, of restoration. The laws of thermodynamics teach us that all things are winding down. They go from order to chaos. But in Christ, all things hold together. And all things are being made new. So it's a spiritual reality. It's also a physical reality because Christ became human and dwelled among us in order to pay the price of ransom, to draw us to Himself. One of those things, one of those sort of million things that don't matter, I believe will be around our possessions. How many times or how many people have you heard tell that it just didn't matter anymore? They came out of a crisis situation, a changed person for a while. And we tend to drift back, don't we, to those things we put our trust in, those people that we put our trust in, perhaps that we shouldn't be. The King James says, no slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon is derived from that in which you put your trust. And I think that's the rub. That's the message. That we'd be faithful in the small things. That we'd realize that all we traffic in, all that we have, all that we consider a possession, comes from God. In the prayer book we say, and to you have we given. All things come from thee, and to you have we given thee. It's like the child who gets the money from their parent to buy the parent a Christmas gift. And the parent is blessed by the choice that the child makes. How can we keep this edge, this reality of what's primary and what's secondary and tertiary and what's just not worth our attention? I was at the local community center, and I was I was in the hot tub, and I heard two guys talking. I said, "What are you doing this weekend? Are you gonna?" I can't remember what was on, but he said, "Are you gonna go and do this?" He goes, "Oh no, man." He goes, "My PVR is full." And I listened. His PVR is full. And so he felt obligated to watch the shows that he's recorded. And I thought, wow, what a trap. Is your PVR full? Is that on your list of things? If you were held captive, would you be thinking, man, I got to get to those shows? Of course not. So how can we live each day with a clarity around our priorities? And I believe that's where we're drawn into this relationship with the one who paid the price, the one who paid our debt, the one who paid the ransom that we were unable to pay. Paul calls him the mediator, and he still has that role. We've been ransomed for what? And Paul writes to the Ephesians and gives instructions for Christian living, and I'd just like to offer these this morning as a point of reflection. So I tell you this, Paul writes, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, those who are outside of that promise. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You know, we get soft hearts through upset often, and then why do they tend to harden again into the old ways, the old patterns, the old habits? Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they're full of greed. So they have given themselves over. Let's not do that. Let's hold firm to this hope that we've been given in Christ, to this new life, this ransom life. That, however, Paul says, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance to the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. You're no longer captive. You're no longer held ransom. You're free. Sometimes that old way of thinking, that captive way of thinking, persists. I was traveling lately, and I had to watch the water that I drank. My system just wasn't geared to the local water out of the tap. And so a couple times I'd catch myself as I went to brush my teeth. And I'd reach for my bottled water. And I've been home 3 weeks, and I still catch myself as I turn on the tap. I go, and I'm in that old mindset of having to take care around things that I now no longer need to take care of. And I can drink freely. But it's interesting how those persist. And of course, that's just a minor example. Some of us are grappling with very deep, deep habits and patterns. We're to put those off and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul goes on to say, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, because we're all members of one body. We've been brought in, ransomed into this new community, the community of Jesus. We've been ransomed. We've been set free. Let's live as free people.